It's with joy that we're here this morning. And with joy, I look and I see your faces. And I just want to say, God bless you. We think of you with fondness. And I know that the miles separate us most of the time. But we do really appreciate the support that we do feel and receive from you and the tokens of things, cards, gifts, thoughts, emails. And we just want to bless you for it. And like I said, it's a joy to be here. Yes, we've traveled a lot of miles, but I think we've been spoiled the most here. We have lovely accommodations at Sam and Lena's. We have, they're just really taking care of us. So it's really a blessing. And we just want to thank you all for your welcome. This morning, the message that the Lord has put on my heart is probably nothing new for you. It's probably things you've heard many times. It might be put together slightly different, I don't know. But the Lord has been pressing on my heart, convicting me of an area that is actually a serious issue for me. And maybe it is for you, maybe it's not, but I'm first of all, speaking to myself. And if there is someone here that needs the message, I just pray that your heart is open and that the Holy Spirit will open the doors. I just really appreciated the way the Holy Spirit has been present and already building a foundation this morning. What was shared in the devotional to the Sunday school to the scripture that was read and shared is very much a basis for this. And the verse on the board, Jesus, his forgiveness of sins, his bringing us into relationship with him, is very much the basis for what I want to share and what enables us to live. And I would like to share the title of what I'd like to share. I'm calling Living from an Attitude of Abundance. Living from an Attitude of Abundance. And Philippians 4, verse 19 is the verse that maybe epitomizes this, that shows deeply what I'm trying to convey. And this is what the Apostle Paul writes through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. However, this is the reality, and we find ourselves that we're living in a fallen world. And we're surrounded by temptations to operate from an attitude of scarcity or leanness instead of an attitude of the abundance that we have in Christ Jesus. I don't know if you find that, but I think I see that. I see that in my personal experience. I see it, I think, in the experience of others. And this topic, as I share, I want to make clear that it's much more than our attitude towards financial resources. Yes, that's included. But it's towards the whole of life and all the resources that we have. And sometimes, even it's easier to give from our financial resources for a situation rather than to engage in ways that might be more productive for the kingdom of God. And the scriptures call us to be a cheerful giver. I'll read that scripture, but it applies to more than our financial gifts. It applies to everything that we give, whether it's from relational resources or any other resource. Now, I find that I myself tend to be very time and goal conscious. I have a goal, I have a time frame, and so I want to move in that direction. But if I'm operating from an attitude of leanness or scarcity, and this is very easy for me, I can become very challenging to live with. Instead of realizing that God will give the resources for what He wants to be accomplished. And if I start hoarding my time and operating from a spirit of leanness, the blessing of the Lord will probably not be there. So with that introduction, let's look at 2 Corinthians. Start reading from 2 Corinthians, chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, reading verses 1 to 5. And the context here in Paul's letter to the Corinthians is him gathering together a gift to bring back to the church in Jerusalem. And here in chapter 8, he's writing about the generosity and what has been happening, what he saw happening in the churches of Macedonia. And then in chapter 9, he's approaching the Corinthians about them sharing for the need that is in Jerusalem. So 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 to 5. Moreover, brethren, we do you wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. We want to make you aware of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. They gave to their power and beyond their power. They were exceedingly generous, but first they gave themselves. Now, chapter 9, verses 6 through 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 12. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being rich in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the wants of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Stop there. He that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And God loves a cheerful giver. God loves someone who gives cheerfully from his heart and what he wants to give. So why is it that maybe we tend to live out of an attitude of leanness instead of abundance? Why is it that we tend to hoard our resources instead of investing them in ways that will bear unending and eternal fruit. Now, resources, what are they? I will name some of them. They can be time, money, things. There's lots of things. We have lots of things. Personal space, relationships, health, mental energy, reproduction, creativity, all of these things that make up our lives, resources. So why do we tend to live out of an attitude of leanness instead of abundance? Well, what does the scripture say? If we look at Psalm 106, the context here is God is, the psalm is writing about the experiences of the Hebrews, the children of Israel, as they were coming out of Egypt, as they go through the desert, as they go into the promised land, so forth and so on. And so it's in that context, Psalm 106, verses 13 to 16, you don't have to turn there, but I'll read it. This is speaking of the children of Israel. It says that they soon forgat his works, God's works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron the saint of the Lord. So sometimes we receive what we want, but we receive leanness. And so we see that leanness is connected to covetousness or envy or lust. Covetousness, envy, or lust will bring leanness into my soul. The attitude of leanness focuses on what I don't have. The attitude of abundance focuses on what it does have. The attitude of leanness is characterized by, I think, three things, maybe more, but you see unthankfulness, you see fear, and you see the drive to control. We're afraid that we're not going to have enough. Our resources aren't going to reach around. So we operate out of that, unthankfulness, fear, and control. And this mode of operation is the murderer of godly faith. An unthankful, fearful, and controlling person is a weight to everyone around them. However, the attitude of abundance is characterized by the twin characteristics of gratitude and generosity. And I think that you have seen and know that a thankful and generous person brings light and joy into every relationship. John chapter 10. Gospel of John chapter 10. Verses 7 to 18. Then said Jesus unto them. This is Jesus speaking to the disciples. They're asking for explanation. And he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. I am come, Jesus says, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus is the reason, the secret, the source of the abundant life, the attitude of abundance. He is the reason that we can live in this way. And it's because of him that we can begin to exercise the faith to live in this way. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 to 10. The context here is Jesus is sending out his disciples to go before him into the villages that he will be going and to begin to share about the coming kingdom of God that is present with them and in the ministry of Jesus. So verse 7, he says to the disciples, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give." Another translation says, "You have received without paying," and how does it say? "You receive without paying, give without pay. Freely you received, freely give." These gifts, you paid nothing for them. It's a work of God. Freely give as you have received. "Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip or bag for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Freely ye have received, freely give." Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 to 48. Now here you have Jesus calling for what I'll call a radical generosity, or again, the attitude of abundance. It's only when we have that security in Christ that we can operate out of this attitude. And it's, as he says in this passage, it's when we operate this way that we are sons of the Father. In other words, when we become like him, because everyone else can give good to someone who gives good to them. It's not that hard. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. We have a nice little club and we're scratching everybody's backs. But as soon as someone crosses us, then you have the test of what will come out and what attitude we have. If we start hoarding our resources then, or if we give freely. Verse 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain or two. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans or tax collectors so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Wow. Father God is radically generous. You know that sun that, let's see here, where's west, east? The sun that came up this morning over here, it came up on you, right? And we like to think we're pretty good. I like to think I'm pretty good. But you know, the person down the road or even in the same house that you're not quite so sure that's so good, that same sun came up for him. The same mercy of God that allows the sun to rise, that gives the breath of life to the good and to the evil. It's that mercy of God that's allowing this to happen, that is giving this over and over and over. What we see here in verse 45 is the scripture is saying that the Father in heaven is so radically generous. Don't just be like the people who scratch each other's backs, but be like your Father in heaven. And when you do that, you are complete. You are perfect. And then the world knows that something is different. And you know what? Your whole life becomes full of light. I suppose you've probably heard about those billionaires out there, right? You know, they're always striving after another billion, okay? And we sort of laugh at them. Ah, you know, they're just always discontent. But what about myself, okay? And what about if I would become content suddenly with what I have? And not only realize that I have enough, but I have an abundance and riches in Christ Jesus. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's what the Lord says. And it's a walk of faith. It's a walk of faith to live that out. But it's what makes the difference between being a child of the devil, really, if we, I think, see this scripture, and a child of God. If someone does something against us, and excuse the expression, but sometimes people say they gave them the devil, oh, whose children are we? Children of the Father. Or children of the devil. Now, this I find very convicting for me. And I want to now look at another scripture, John chapter 15. I believe that really herein lies the secret of living out of an attitude of abundance. John chapter 15. abiding, walking in relationship with Jesus, a loving, obedient relationship, a walk of faith. It is only when I have this undergirding me that I can live in this way. As the Father lives and as He causes His Son to rise each day. And you know, sometimes we think that God is all judgment and anger, and this is very wrong, actually. And we look to the Old Testament and we say how, you know, He sends the prophets and He sends judgment. But if you look at how actually it's happening, you see hundreds and even thousands of years go by as God works with His people, and He says, if only they would turn towards me. God is radically generous and long-suffering. John chapter 15. We'll read verses 1 to 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Where herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Abiding. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, Jesus said, and ordained you. I have made you that you go and bring forth fruit. Abiding is resting. Abiding is trusting in Jesus to bring the fruit. Abiding is walking in a loving relationship. It's walking in faith. And once we have that connection to the vine, once we are abiding, this will bring the consciousness of the unlimited resources that we have in Jesus. It doesn't mean that I become Superman or Superwoman. It doesn't mean that. It means that I have enough and more than enough to do what He wants me to do. And if I'm abiding in Him, I don't have to perform according to my ideal, but I can perform according to His. And it's Him that brings the fruit. When we abide, we realize that there's no difference between my resources and God's resources. Everything we have is from the Father. When we abide, we actually realize that I can give away everything, all of our resources, all of my resources, and still be okay. Jesus gave away everything and He died. But His Father was with Him. And it's Him who passed through death and gives us the hope of resurrection. Also, when we abide, we realize that me and my resources will never be enough to meet all the needs around me. Sometimes our problem is we think that we have the resources to do everything, and we don't. They're God's resources. But we realize that I don't have it. But it's Jesus that brings the fruit forth in my life, how He wants to bring it forth. When we abide, we operate as a manager of another person's resources. We are constantly looking for ways to please the Master in the management of His resources, that He has given us the control or influence over. When we abide, instead of building my kingdom, we build the kingdom of Jesus. When we abide, we have the firm confidence that Jesus will provide for any venture to which He calls us. So, my challenge for me, for all of us, is to abide. To abide. And I would encourage you to read again through John 15 here and let the Spirit continue to open this scripture to you and think about ways that I might be or you might be operating out of the covetousness, envy, or lust, selfishness that brings about leanness of soul. And allow the Holy Spirit to point and to put His finger on the things that are bringing the leanness of soul into our experience. At this time, I'm going to make a shift. This is very simple.